I'd like to read this morning from Acts chapter 19. The Word of God talks about the Holy Ghost. And I believe that probably of the three persons in the Godhead, that the Holy Ghost is the one that is known the least about. That's what the Bible speaks the least about. There's less emphasis on the Holy Ghost than there is on God the Father and God the Son. And yet we should not be ignorant of what God's Word has to say about the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus." Remember where he came to now. He came to Ephesus. "And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." So you see the ignorance of the people of God about the Holy Ghost. It's not something new. The knowledge and understanding that the people of God have about the Holy Ghost is and has always been a problem. So the Apostle Paul asked the disciples here, he says, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" They had already believed. And he says, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" So receiving the Holy Ghost is something that comes after you believe. Belief is something that comes after you are born of the Holy Ghost. So many times the people of God get the cart before the horse, and they're trying to do something to get people born again. The Word of God teaches that God comes to His people, whom He chose before the foundation of the world, a people so great that no man can number, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe, that God comes to His people, and God quickens them, and they are born of the Spirit of God. And when they are born of the Spirit, they are given the nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit of God. And one of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit of God is faith. And faith is necessary in order to believe. And it's in believing and obeying God's Word that then, later, after a person has been born of the Spirit of God, and then they hear and understand and believe and obey God, then they later can experience the baptism of the Holy Ghost or being filled with the Holy Ghost, or as Paul asked here, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" We need the Holy Ghost. We need to feel the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to know that the Holy Ghost is real, and we need to be asking God for the Holy Ghost. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, He says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him." Now, what do we need to be asking for? Do we need to be asking God to give us this day our daily bread? Yes, we do. Do we need to be asking God to protect us and provide for us in many ways? Indeed, we do. But another thing that we should be asking God for is to be able to feel the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit in our lives. One of the biggest problems in churches today is, first of all, there is ignorance of the Word of God, and then someone can come along and begin to teach people something that is not taught in the Word of God, and when there is so little felt presence of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, it is easy. It is easy for the people of God to be led down a wrong path, especially concerning the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So I pray that God will help us this morning as we begin to look at the Word of God, that God will help us to understand some truth about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, To understand there is a difference in being born of the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit of God and receiving the Spirit of God and being filled with the Spirit of God and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let's back up first of all in our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to go through several verses of Scripture that we've looked at recently. We looked at them for a completely different purpose last time. The last time we looked at some of these verses, we were looking at the boldness that the people of God ought to have and how the people of God ought to be teaching the Word of God. Now, you cannot teach the Word of God and you cannot have boldness the way the Word of God speaks about unless you have the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that gives the people of God the boldness that we need to go forward and be a faithful disciple and be a Christian. In Acts chapter 1, I want you to first notice verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The Word of God says, "And being assembled together with them," that is, after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus was assembled together with them. "He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me." Now what does Jesus say? "You're to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me." And we're going to be looking at that promise, but he explains the promise in the next verse. He says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, had they already been born of the Spirit of God? These people that Jesus is speaking to, they were already disciples of Christ. They had already been born of the Spirit of God. But he says that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost if they tarried in Jerusalem, if they obeyed God, if they waited on the Lord. He says, "You will be baptized with the Holy Ghost." And then come down to verse 8, and you'll see more about the Holy Ghost. He says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Brethren, without the power of the Holy Ghost, there is no preaching in the house of God. You can have teaching, you can have talking, you can have lessons, and you can have many other things in the house of God, but without the power of the Holy Ghost, there is no preaching in the house of God. And the Word of God says here that the people of God need to ask for the Holy Spirit, and you and I and all of us need to be asking for the Holy Spirit, but we need to wait in Jerusalem. By the way, the Jerusalem that these people were waiting in was the literal Jerusalem. And the Jerusalem that we need to wait in is the spiritual Jerusalem, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, which is called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And if we will stay in the new Jerusalem, if we will stay and tarry in the kingdom of heaven, if we will remain in the kingdom of heaven, we will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And being baptized with the Holy Ghost is not a one-time experience, but it's something that happens many times in the lives of God's obedient children. Being born of the Spirit happens one time. Being baptized with the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit or receiving the Spirit happens many times or can happen many times in the lives of God's children. And so it is that Jesus gives a great declaration. He tells them to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the promise of the Father and the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Now look at Acts chapter 2. After we read in the rest of Acts chapter 1, we read that they did tarry in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, what had they been told to do? They had been told to wait in Jerusalem. They had been told to tarry in Jerusalem. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at Acts chapter 2. Come on down to verses 37 and 38. By the way, in Acts 2:14, the Word of God beginning in that verse tells us about the Apostle Peter standing up and beginning to preach in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 2 verse 37, the Word of God says that after the people heard Peter preaching, that they were pricked in their hearts. Many of them were. And Acts 2:37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They had crucified Jesus Christ. And they said, what can we do? What shall we do? Acts 2:38, Peter tells them what to do. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you see what he's saying there? Was there something for them to do to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? They had to repent and be baptized to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, in Acts 3, by the power of God, Peter lifted up a man who was lame. And then the scribes and the Pharisees, they locked Peter up. They put him in prison and told him not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And then Peter was released from prison by God. And Peter goes back and begins again to teach and preach about Jesus Christ. And come down, and let me just pause here and say this. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ will not focus on the Holy Spirit, but it focuses on Jesus Christ. I want you to remember that. That's one reason that many times the people of God do not know much about the Holy Spirit, is because the Word of God does not focus on us worshiping the Holy Spirit, but the Word of God does tell us a lot about the Holy Spirit. And when you get in error, you're going to begin to worship the Holy Spirit, and all focus is going to be on the Holy Spirit and in the gifts of the Spirit rather than on the holy special gift, Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 now, after Peter has been told not to preach in the name of Jesus, listen beginning in verse 8. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, the Word of God says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a difference in feeling a little flicker of the Holy Ghost. There's a difference in feeling a little lightning bug Holy Ghost religion and somebody being filled with the Holy Ghost. And on this occasion, the Word of God says about Peter that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And look at the response. Look at the difference. Look at what happened when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Now, I want you to remember, you just think, is he going to give glory and power to the Holy Ghost, or is he going to give glory to Jesus Christ? Going to give glory to Jesus. He says, if you want to know how we were able to raise this man from the impotent position that he was in, he says in verse 10, be it known unto all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, had they been with Jesus, or had they been with the Holy Ghost? Both. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter 4, Acts 4, verse 31. Acts 4, verse 31, the Word of God says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Do you and I need to be speaking the word of God with boldness? Do you know that the number one problem in America today is that people do not, I'm talking about children of God, do not know the word of God. That is the number one problem in America today. They don't know the word of God. Churches don't know the word of God. People who have been claiming to be Christians all their lives, they don't know the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, you can't stand where God's Word says to stand. Brethren, the sin of homosexuality is taking over our nation like wildfire. And they're as bold and arrogant as any human beings have ever been. They're just as bad as those men in Sodom and Gomorrah that went to Lot's door and wanted those two men to take them. They're just that ungodly and bold today as they were back there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is not going to let churches go unaccounted for. We're responsible for not speaking boldly against the sin of homosexuality. We're responsible for not speaking out against the sin of abortion. We're responsible for not speaking out when our government began to turn against the God of heaven and earth and began to turn to the God of humanism. We're responsible in our families for sending our children to a godless school system that despises God and hates God and undermines the principles of God's Word, such as creation and the other truths that are in the Word of God. We have burned them upon the altar. We've turned them over to the devil, and we need to be ashamed for failing to stand where the Word of God says to stand. Our nation would not be in the condition that it is in today if the people who are called Christians knew the Word of God and stood on the principles of God's holy Word and were filled with the Holy Ghost and would speak with boldness. You know what happens when you speak with boldness about the things that are true in God's Word? When a nation or when a people or when a city or when a church has turned against God's Word, do you know what happens when you speak with boldness about the truth of God's Word? Do you know what happens when you will not compromise on the truth of God's Word? You will be hated. And without the presence of the Spirit of God, do you know what you'll do? You'll compromise. You'll fold. You will stop standing where God's Word says to stand if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to compromise with the world, you're going to join hands with the world, and you're going to turn against the truth of God's Word. When you ever compromise in one portion of God's Word, you're going to compromise in another one, and another one, and another one. And you'll go right down the path of destruction, the broad way. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter 11 very quickly. Now, let me mention one more verse from Acts 4. Acts 4 verse 33. The Word of God says in Acts 4 verse 33 says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Go with me to Acts chapter 11. Up until this point, everything that I've been reading to you about has been the Holy Ghost being poured out on the Jews or Gentiles. On the Jews. Day of Pentecost, Holy Ghost poured out on the Jews. Up until Acts chapter 10, you don't find the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost being poured out on anyone but the Jews. But in Acts chapter 10, God sent Peter to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Jew, but he was a godly Jew. He was a man of God. And God sent Peter to preach to Cornelius. And when Peter began to preach to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit came on the household of Cornelius just like it came on the people on the day of Pentecost. And Peter, listen carefully, Peter marveled that even Gentiles could be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he went back to the Jews. You know what he told the Jews? He said, "I want you to know what I have experienced. I went and I preached to the Gentiles. I went to the house of Cornelius and I preached to the Gentiles." And in essence, what he said was, "You won't believe this, but the Holy Spirit was even poured out on the Gentiles." You know, brethren, I think that we have claimed to be filled with the Spirit, or we've claimed to be the church, we've claimed to be this, that, and the other, along deceiving ourselves, not deceiving God, been void of the Holy Spirit, and now what God's going to do is just turn to a people that you and I might think, them? Well, that's silly that they could have the truth. That's silly that they could be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what God does, brethren. When God's people who have been given the truth, when they begin to become lukewarm and indifferent, He spews them out of His mouth. He removes His candlestick, and He gives that truth to another people that are bringing forth fruit thereof. So in Acts chapter 11, here he is talking to the Jews. Peter now going back to the Jews, telling them what God has done to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 11, verses 15 and 16, the Word of God says, and Peter talking to the Jews, he said, as I began to speak, that is to Cornelius and his household, and as I began to speak to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. The Holy Ghost did what? Fell on them. Same thing as the Holy Ghost. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I, listen carefully, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that He said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. When did Jesus say that? Back up to Matthew 3. Back up in your Bibles to Matthew 3. John the Baptist is speaking here in Matthew 3. And here's what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist was about to baptize Jesus. Now, listen carefully. Was John the Baptist going to baptize Jesus with the Holy Ghost? Or was John the Baptist going to baptize Jesus with water? He was going to baptize Jesus with water. I don't have the power to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Neither does any other man. I can carry out the ordinance of water baptism. I can baptize you with water. John the Baptist baptized the people with water, and that's taught in Matthew 3, verse 11. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus is the one that John the Baptist was speaking about. And he says, Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If you've ever been baptized with the Holy Ghost, if you've ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've ever received the Holy Ghost, it was Jesus that baptized you with the Holy Ghost. You just can't get away from giving glory to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Who was it that Paul went to when we started out this morning in Acts chapter 19? Who was it that Paul went to and said, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Do you remember what group of people that was in Acts 19 that Paul went to and asked them the question, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Who was that? The saints at where? Ephesus. That's right, the saints at Ephesus. Saints at Ephesus. Now, that was before the church at Ephesus was established very much. But then we come two or three or a few years later and we find the church at Ephesus is established. In fact, they're beginning to wane away somewhat. After we find in Acts 19 that the people at Ephesus, the saints at Ephesus, were asked, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We come to Ephesians chapter 5 and we find that they now know and understand about the Holy Ghost. They know to ask for the Holy Ghost. And then the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, he gives them some simple instructions on how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Do I need to know how to be filled with the Holy Ghost? If there's something I can do to be filled with the Holy Ghost, do I need to know what to do? And do I need to do what God tells me to do to be filled with the Holy Ghost? If I really believe in God, and if I want to try to make it in this world, if I want to try to be faithful to God, I've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is just not a good feeling you have. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is the boldness and the power that you need to walk as a Christian. You the grace of God you need day by day in your life. In Ephesians chapter 5, listen please, beginning in verse 18. The Apostle Paul now is speaking to these same people that in Acts 19 said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now he talks to these saints of God who have grown tremendously and are much more spiritual and have much more knowledge of the truth. Now he says to them in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18, he exhorts them in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, let me ask you, who fills you with the Spirit? Jesus. God. Both are correct. God or Jesus is the one who fills us with the Spirit. But the question is, who does he fill with the Spirit? Does he fill all of those who are born of the Spirit? Does he fill them all with the Spirit? Does he baptize them all with the Spirit? Do they all receive the Spirit? No. But Jesus tells us one thing that is necessary for us to be filled with the Spirit. And I've already quoted that from Luke 11:13, that we need to ask for the Holy Spirit, don't we? Now, in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul tells us something else that we are to do to be filled with the Spirit. The exhortation and command in Ephesians 5:18 is, be filled with the Spirit. Is there a period at the end of that verse? No. The verse, or the sentence rather, the sentence does not end until verse 21. And verses 19, 20, and 21 tell us three specific things that we must do in order to be filled with the Spirit. He says, be filled with the Spirit. What's the first thing in verse 19 he says to do? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If you'll do that every day, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's something you can do to be filled with the Spirit of God. Second thing he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first says, speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Second thing he tells us to do in order to be filled with the Spirit is to be giving thanks to God for the bountiful blessings that we have. Listen, brethren, every one of us ought to fall on our faces today and say, God, forgive me for not asking to be filled with the Spirit of God. God, forgive me for not doing what you've taught me to do to be filled with the Spirit of God. God, forgive me for no boldness in my life. God, forgive me for straying away from you. God, forgive me for not standing up for the truth. And God, help me to be filled with the Spirit so that I'll do what's necessary to please you in my life. You can't please God without being filled with the Spirit. And you can't be filled with the Spirit without doing the things that God tells us to do. So he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to God always for all things. And then he says in verse 21, this is the hardest one. He says, submitting yourselves one to another. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Did you know the most dangerous time in a Christian's life is when they begin to know and understand some truth in God's Word? That's the most dangerous time in a Christian's life. When a Christian begins to be like if you compare it to a natural life, what's the most dangerous time in a natural person's development from infancy to the grave? What's the most dangerous time in their lives? What age? The teenage years. That's when you have more death, is during those teenage years. What causes those deaths in the teenage years? Say it. Okay, immaturity, but thinking what? Thinking maturity, okay, temptations, but you think you're an adult. How many of you remember when you were 16, 17, 18 years old, thought you were, is there anybody here that was 16 to 18 years old thought you were smarter than your parents were? Well, I did. I was one of the smartest human beings on the face of the earth when I was 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. And then my daddy was one of the least intelligent men on the face of the earth, I thought. The same thing happens in spiritual growth. A babe in Christ sits there like a little mockingbird and just says, feed me, feed me, feed me. Teach me, teach me, teach me. I want to hear the Word of God. Tell me what to do. Lead me in the right way to go. And they're just so hungry, feeding on the Word of God, and then they begin to grow and they begin to mature. And they begin to know quite a bit about the Word of God. And they go through that spiritual age that we might call the teenage years of spiritual development. And they feel like they know it all. And that's when most Christians perish. That's when most Christians die. That's when most Christians go in the wrong direction, is they don't feel that willingness to submit. Do you know any teenagers or young adults that aren't willing to just submit, just do what the parents and grandparents say? Just obey your parents and grandparents. Just submit. If you're not willing to submit in the natural realm, you are not submitting to God. God has made it clear in His Word the responsibility that we have to submit ourselves one to another. The same thing is true in the church. May God help us, brethren, to understand we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of heaven? It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.